Hey there, everyone. Welcome back to Beacon Babes. My name is Brielle, and unfortunately, my buddy Alora isn't able to meet up with us this evening because she has some family activities and events that she needs to attend to. So you just got me here. Just you, me, and talking about the politics and what's going on in the world currently, right now. But before we get started with everything, you guys, I first wanted to say thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for your time. Give us a follow on Twitter, Beacon Babes on Twitter. And also, you know, spread the word. Make sure you share our podcast with your friends. We would be tremendously grateful for that. We just got started on this, and this is just something truly that we are just passionate about. And we want to talk about it with you guys. We want to share the love, and we hope that you enjoy our podcast. We definitely enjoy doing our podcast and sharing this information with you all. So, with that being said, you guys, happy holidays. Much love to you. And I truly hope that you guys are spending time with your families. You guys are getting together, and that's the gift of Christmas. Just truly being able to spend time with your family and your loved ones, right? The best things in life are free, and it's the ones that you love. Okay. All right, moving forward onto the craziness that's going on in the world right now, 2020. So last week I told you that I wanted to talk about Bobulinski, Tony Bobulinski. That's actually his name, but I like to call him many different names, Bobaluni, Bobalini, but his actual name is Tony Bobulinski.
How to pronounce the name Tony Bobulinski? Tony Bobulinski.
And who is Tony Bobulinski? Well, he is Hunter Biden's business partner. But, you know, currently there's been a big discussion. Now, this happened a month ago, this whole Tony Bobulinski situation. In fact, there was an interview with Tony Bobulinski and my main man, Tucker, in which I will enlighten you in just a few. That was about a month ago, and you know I've been wanting to talk about this, but currently, there's a discussion about a 2017 email that's been raising question about how involved Joe Biden was with his son Hunter Biden's business. And if you've been watching social media, at least, you'll know that Biden has denied any knowledge of what Hunter was up to overseas. And he claims that he is so proud of his son. But in this 2017 email, Hunter calls his dad office mates with the Chinese. And these Chinese businessmen, they have ties with the Communist Party. That's extremely alarming. Extremely alarming. And if you've been listening to our podcasts, or you've been listening to other people who have been speaking along the same lines as Alora and I have on YouTube and other outlets aside from mainstream media, you will know that a lot of these things are adding up. That Joe Biden and Hunter Biden have really been connected with the Chinese and this Communist Party, and that our world could easily start leading into that sort of communist rule. And how terrifying is that? But this is not the first time that Joe Biden, his name has been dropped as part of his son's business dwellings, and that they are connected in some way, shape, or form. For example, Tony Bobulinski, he was the first to make that allegation. And he's been, unfortunately, accused by the Biden family of treason at the current moment. So I'm going to play for you a little bit of footage of Tony Bobulinski, as well as Tucker, having a little bit of a discussion about this.
We just showed you the first 20 minutes of our interview a few hours ago with Tony Bobulinski, well-known international businessman who was asked by the Biden family to do business with them in China. He met with the former Vice President Joe Biden two separate times, and they talked about the China business deal. The reason you're hearing a lot of this for the first time tonight on this show is because they have resolutely ignored it and tried to suppress the story. Joe Biden has rarely been asked about it, though there is an enormous amount of detail and documentation that no one has refuted because it's real. Tell me about the conversation that you had with Joe Biden. What did he say to you?
You mean the morning after he spoke?
That's right.
There was 10 people running around, getting him something to drink, and we were backstage in a cramped space, and he asked me to walk with him out to the car, and he just asked, you know, how I did and what I thought of his speech. And I thought he did a great job in the speech, and obviously cancer is a very serious thing that we should all be working together to solve. I just lost a sister-in-law within the last 2 weeks, sadly, to cancer. And then he just sort of asked me to keep an eye on his son and his brother. Yeah.
What do you think he meant by that?
I think it was conscious of things, and, you know, I can't speak for him.
Maybe right.
I would love for him to go on record. You know, as I referenced earlier, I'm only sitting here because they have not only have they not gone on record, they've denied it, and they've tarred my family name and a long history of serving this country, and have other congressmen now talking about Russian disinformation.
This whole smear on Joe Biden comes from the Kremlin.
I held a top secret clearance from the NSA and the DOE. I served this country for 4 years in one of the most elite environments in the world, Naval Nuclear Power Training Command. And to have a congressman out there speaking about Russian disinformation, or Joe Biden at a public debate referencing Russian disinformation, when he knows he sat face to face with me, that I was traveled around the world with his son and his brother, to say that and associate that with my name is absolutely disgusting to me.
Did you complain about that? I mean, to suggest that you were committing treason or a part of a foreign attack on our democracy, which is how they characterized it. I mean, that's such a serious and I think unfair charge. Did you bring this up with them?
Well, in basic form, you're exactly right. They are publicly accusing me of treason right now, treating me like I'm insignificant, or the 50 years of history that my family served this country is insignificant. And that's why I'm sitting here having this. I assure you, this is the absolute last place I want to be right now and the last thing I want to be doing right now. But I feel like I have a patriotic duty to this country and every American citizen to go on record and define the facts for them and let them do their own work. Let them decide how they view those facts or not. But for the Biden family to deny these facts and then not only deny them, they could have just said no comment, but they didn't say no comment. They then brought in Russian disinformation and basically associated my name with that, which is absolutely disgusting to me. And I had to go on the record. Last weekend, I was in Virginia. Sadly, my sister-in-law passed away. When I saw Adam Schiff go on record talking about Russian disinformation after this email had been posted online by the New York Post, and remember, that email was to me from James Gillier, right? It wasn't, you know, I wasn't blind carboned or CC'd on that. It was to me stating that I was going to be the CEO of this enterprise. I was at the end of my rope. And so I crawled Rob Walker, and I told him that if that statement isn't retracted by Congressman Schiff by midnight on Sunday, that I was going on record and I was disclosing all the facts to the American government, to the American citizen, and the world. I was hoping the Bidens would do the right thing or Schiff would retract his statement, but I could not allow another minute, another hour, or day for my family's name to be associated or muddied up around Russian disinformation. So even as I sit here today, I would ask the Biden family to come on record and stop using my name or associating it with Russian disinformation. It's absolutely disgusting.
So this is Rob Walker, the representative of the Biden family. I believe his wife worked for the Biden family, apparently. So you said this to him. I won't go public. I just want them to retract the accusation that I'm an instrument of Russian disinformation. What did he say?
That's correct. He said, listen, let me make some calls. Let me call George, who's Hunter Biden's lawyer, and see what I can do. But he sort of presented it as if that's going to be impossible for me to get done. And, you know, I'm not naive. I know that's not impossible. That's a single phone call from Joe Biden to Adam Schiff saying, basically, go on record and retract your statement. You got over your skis. And when I, you know, I was up late that night, and when the statement wasn't retracted, come Monday morning, I was ready to go on record. And how that record was, I was willing to go in front of any senator, any congressman, the Department of Justice, the FBI, or sit here with you, Tucker, and basically provide the facts to the American people and let them make their decision. This isn't a political focus of mine. People were accusing my family of treason, after I served this country and defended this country.
So the reason you wound up here in this interview, and I just want to affirm for our audience, I don't think you had any desire to do this interview.
Absolutely no desire.
Is because nobody else told your story. So were you surprised, given the trove of documents you have, given the credibility that I think is apparent that you have, that no other news organization took the time to unpack this story?
Surprised is probably an understatement of the year. Shocked, because it would be different if this was my word against Jim Biden, Hunter Biden, and Joe Biden.
Right.
That would be a very slippery slope. Not something I would take the personal and family risk on it. But I've provided more documents and facts that validate times, meetings, who participated. That email to me on May 13th was generated by somebody else sent to me. It wasn't me generating. These text messages that I've provided are Hunter Biden in the first person, Jim Biden in the first person, James Gillier in the first person, Rob Walker in the first person. It's not me generating the text messages. It's them speaking. So you can interview them. The FBI can interview them. Our government can interview them. But I was shocked that not only the media is not only discussing this, they're going to the other extreme. They're dismissing it as Russian disinformation. This country has heard enough about Russia. We went through 3 years of every day, Russia, Russia, Russia. It's just absurd. The Cold War is over.
And they're saying it about your family.
Yes.
The Biden family knew that you're going public with this. And you spoke to Rob Walker about it. Again, the self-described Biden family representative. And Biden family, meaning Joe Biden as well. What was his response when you let him know that you were going public with this?
Trying to coach me. Trying to sort of say, hey, we don't want to do that. We don't want, you know, press trucks out in front of our house. I'm going to have to move. I could lose my job. All that, I'm not trying to cause any harm to anyone in this situation,
right,
let alone Rob Walker and his family, James Gillier and his family. But basically Rob's position was, if you go on record with all these facts, you'll bury all of us.
If he doesn't come out on record, I am providing the facts.
Tony, you're just going to just bury all of us, man.
What was your response to that?
I was focused on pushing these guys to do the right thing, to demonstrate an ounce of integrity in front of the American people.
And I don't want you guys to deny any of these allegations, because Tony has times, meetings, and people who actually participated in all of this. And his family, too, has been threatened. Obviously, he's being threatened for treason. He doesn't want his family to go through this, but he has also served in the military. He is a stand-up man, and I feel like he's a patriot, and that's why he's standing up for this. And we have to respect these patriots that are literally putting their name and their family on the line for America and for justice. So hopefully this enlightens you just a little bit, and that's my main reason in doing so, you guys. Now, go ahead and check out that Tucker exclusive. Basically, all you have to look up is Tony Bobulinski and Tucker exclusive, and you'll be able to find that on YouTube. But I highly encourage you to look up that interview so that you can hear the whole thing from beginning to end if you are interested. But it was very, very informative to me, and it really, in all honesty, is extremely enlightening. So now what I have for you guys is absolutely wild. I woke up in the middle of the night the other night and I saw that there was a cyber hack attack on the Pentagon. Hack attack sounds really weird to say, but there was. There was a cyber hack attack on the Pentagon, and holy crap, what? This is insane. So let me read to you what I found out about that. The Trump administration official tells Axios that the cyber attack on the U.S. government and corporate America, apparently by Russia, is looking worse day by day, and secrets may still be stolen in ways not yet discovered. So what is the big picture here? Well, we really don't even know. And stunningly, the breach goes back to at least March, you guys, and it continues all through the election. And the United States government didn't even sound the alarm until this weekend. So that truly is alarming, although I completely understand why they didn't. You know, people are going to get freaked out, but damage assessment could take months. Microsoft president Brad Smith told the New York Times that at least 40 companies, government agencies, and think tanks have been infiltrated. The hack is known to have breached the departments of, get this, you guys, defense, state, homeland security, treasury, commerce, and energy, and its national nuclear security administration, plus the National Institutes of Health. This is out of control and mind-boggling. I mean, wow. 8 countries. Okay, Microsoft, which has helped respond to the breach, said in a statement that 80% of its 40 customers known to have been targeted are in the United States, plus others in the UK, Israel, Canada, Mexico, Belgium, and Spain. In unusually vivid language for a bureaucracy, the United States Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, part of Homeland Security, said this weekend that the intruder demonstrated sophistication and complex tradecraft. I'm not trying to scare you guys, but I do want you guys to keep your minds open when Alora and I are explaining these things to you guys, because it is highly suspicious. The agency said the breach poses a grave risk to the federal government and state, local, tribal, and territorial governments, as well as critical infrastructure entities and other private sector organizations. I mean, hello. Oh, wow. If this had been a physical attack on America's secrets, we would literally be at war, you guys. We would 100% be at war. So imagine if during the Cold War, the Soviet Union had broken into a building in Washington and walked out with correspondence, budgets, and more. Imagine that. So the gravity wasn't immediately apparent, because this wasn't the cyber Pearl Harbor that experts have warned about. No one took out a power grid or stole a bunch of money or destabilized the markets. But instead, it's more like someone has been walking in and out of your house for months and you don't really even know what they took. That's something that gives me extreme goosebumps. I don't know about you guys, but it gives me extreme goosebumps that aren't good goosebumps. You know, it's like I'm terrified goosebumps. I wish you could respond to me, but like, I want to know what you think when you hear what I'm saying right now. But, you know, it's possible that they may have built a secret door. So for someone to have access that long, who's this sophisticated, it's pretty likely that they built other ways to get in that are hard to find. And again, that's terrifying. You know what I'm saying? So then what's next? So President Trump, he's been staying silent on the hack, meaning that President-elect Biden's overflowing inbox now includes Russian reprisal, damage mitigation, and future deterrence. So it's promising to impose substantial costs, you guys, on the perpetrator. And Biden said in a statement that his administration will make cybersecurity a top priority. But like, for me personally, I feel like that's gobbledygook. I'm ready for Donald Trump to take action right now while he can, because of all the allegations that are going on against Hunter Biden and all of the allegations that are leading into, because of Hunter Biden's integrity, his miss. Look, the dude makes bad choices, okay? And his father seems to be tied into that, and he's not willing to speak up about it. He's not willing to address it. He's not willing to face it. In all honesty, it raises red flags for me. And why not just address it? So are these all a result of their mass destruction? Is this a result of their selfishness? Is this a result of their negligence? I mean, what words can I use? It all seems to be very sketchy. It all seems to be very suspect, all in which I have said many, many times over and over again. But that's kind of what's going on right now. But, you know, I do want to lead you guys into something a little bit more positive and enlighten you. You know, one of the things that I like to talk about is light and fluffy things. Ever since Alora and I have gotten started, we haven't really talked about light and fluffy things because so many, I don't know, corrupt and just vile things have been happening in our world. And so what's really exciting, and we're going to post this podcast a little bit earlier because of this reason alone, is that I'm recording right now on Sunday, but tomorrow, which is going to be posted actually today, which is the winter solstice. And that is December 21st. And it just happens to be this really exciting event for people like myself, who is a bit of a spiritualist. And the universal energy, it really gets ignited during this time. And astrologers have predicted that 2020 will be like a big turning point in energy throughout our universe. I do feel like, you know, the world is kind of put together here, and we all might even take that for granted. Basically, there's several different threads that we need to be aware of leading into 2021. And I want you guys to start thinking about that. So, you know, I think we can all agree that 2020 is a big, I don't know, for lack of a better term, a big shitter. And, you know, it's kind of priming us for what's to come. So we've kind of gone through the shit stir. And what can we expect in 2021 that's going to be here really, really soon? So entering it to 2021, I do think it's going to be a bit of a bumpy ride. If you think about what the astrologers have been saying, and you've been listening to spiritualists and people who talk about the divine, even God. But in April and May, we'll start to see something new, which what I feel like will be hopefully a more peaceful environment, new beginnings, something to look forward to. The theme of 2021 is to find the common ground with each other and kind of act with compassion. And that's something that we're lacking right now. You know, 2020 has been kind of, in the recent past anyway, we've been interacting a lot very negatively. I mean, everything that Alora and I have been talking about is all negative. You think about the election itself, I mean, the government and our world in itself, social media, the mainstream media, it's just everything is just so negative, and people will choose to think one way or they'll think to choose another. It tends to be on a balancing scale. There's no real gray, and that is creating, as I've said before, as much of a great divide. And I feel like this is going to come to a close in 2021 because all of this negativity works against what the universal energy in 2021 aims to bring. So this year has really been a true dark side. It's literally, you know, I talk about Star Wars. I've talked about it before. And I feel like our world has been leaning towards the dark side. Some of us are in the light side, some of us are on the dark side. And I'm hoping that in 2021, as well as a lot of spiritualists and people that look at astrology and that sort of thing, are thinking that in 2021, it's going to bring us to a more peaceful place. And if some of you guys are thinking, you know, what the heck are you talking about? Well, December 21st, which is Monday, is going to be a winter solstice. And this is really exciting because so many exciting things are going to happen. It's going to give you goosebumps. At least it did for me anyways. But for those of you that don't know what that means, you're like, well, what is a solstice? Well, solstices are the planet's longest and shortest days of the year. So the longest day marks the beginning of summer and is called the summer solstice. And then the shortest day often marks the beginning of winter, and that's called the winter solstice. So what's really cool about what's going to be happening this year is that on December 21st, Monday, Saturn and Jupiter, they're going to get really close to each other. And Saturn is going to orbit the sun. But when Saturn does that, it does it every 20 years. And Jupiter does it too. But it orbits the sun every 12 years. Well, these two planets are going to be lining up with each other. And this hasn't happened in 800 years, you guys. 800 years. Isn't that crazy? So that's something that you guys want to absolutely check out. And that's why we're doing this podcast a little bit early this week. It's significant. And you know what's even more exciting is that it's happening near Christmas. And why, do you ask? I'll tell you why. Simply because astronomers believe what can be seen in the sky on December 21st, when this happens, it may have been what the three wise men saw that led them towards Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. Oh my God. When I hear that, I just get like the most tremendous goosebumps you could possibly even imagine. It's just so exciting. And you know, when these two planets are aligning, when we see them together in the sky, it's going to look really bright. But they're actually, you know, up in the universe. They're far, far away from each other. But when we see them, it's going to look like they're super close together. But anywho, there is a definite possibility of the wise men seeing that star for Bethlehem. So what's really exciting about this, you guys, is that there is definitely a possibility of what that star of Bethlehem could have been. So I really want you guys to check this out, okay? Please make sure that you check this out. And reach out to us on Twitter and let us know if you saw it. How did it make you feel? What was it like for you in regards to that experience? This is really epic, and this isn't going to happen again for an extremely long time, and so you want to get your kids involved in this. Quite simply, if anything, it's just something to end this year on a positive note, leading into Christmas for sure, more than anything. You know, this has been a really, really, really tough year, and if you want to end on a beautiful note that really touches your soul and you can explain that to your children, I just think that's a really beautiful moment. That's just me, but I wanted to share that with you guys. And that's kind of what I'm going to leave you guys with today. You know, we just wanted to touch base with you. I know the holiday is coming close, and everyone has so much to do, shopping and all that good stuff and spending time with your family. So we are cutting this short today. And of course, because I don't have a Laura, but I wanted to just let you know kind of what's happening in the world, not to scare you, but to keep you alert, stay close with your family, prepare in advance. As I always say, keep your eyes open. You know, I know if a Laura was here, she would say stack your cupboards with as many canned goods as you can, because not to scare you, but just be prepared. I mean, this cyber attack is very alarming. I literally woke up and saw that in the middle of the night, and I was like, whoa, what? I'm one of those weirdos that looks at my phone and YouTube and all those crazy things that are happening in the world in the middle of the night. And then I sit up looking at it until 5 a.m. and I'm like, why can I not get any sleep? Because I'm freaking my own self out. I don't want to do that to you guys, but I do think that one of the most important things is that I always say to you guys is just keep your eyes open, always be prepared, and take advantage of every second, every moment with your family that you can, and no time like the present, especially since we're here with Christmas and we have this beautiful solstice happening. And so lead with compassion, you guys, lead with love, try to start over in this new year in 2021, and we'll be back next week. But I do want you guys to think about what 2021 is going to look like. And I think that it's very important for us to look within, see if we are meeting up with how we are speaking to others and how we tell everyone else to behave. Are we doing the same? What is our karma? And how is that looking for us? Because what's most important is how we're going to lead ourselves into 2021. What kind of impact are we making on others? You know, we only have control over ourselves, our actions, and what we do from day to day, and how we represent ourselves in front of others. But not only that, in front of the kids and children that we have in this world, because they are the ones that are going to be our future. So with that being said, you guys, I love you so much. I am so grateful for all of you giving us a listen, supporting us, following us. Check us out on Twitter. And again, if you guys happen to see that beautiful star, I'm going to go ahead and say it, of Bethlehem, let us know on Twitter. Tell us what you thought and how it made you feel. If you are able to get any pictures, that would be really cool. Make sure you send it to us. But in the meantime, you guys have a Merry Christmas, and we will talk to you next week. Much love to you. Same to you from Alora. I'm going to speak for her. Merry Christmas and God bless.